Our scripture reading this evening,
I would like to call your attention to one verse found in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We often hear it said there are two sides to every coin. Sometimes we hear the statement, heads you win, tails you lose. There are two sides to every coin. As far as the Christian life is concerned, there are two sides to it. There is the matter of God's sovereignty. The Lord knows those that are his. And there is the side of human responsibility. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, depart from lawlessness. Well, we know who the head is. Christ is the head. The Bible says God hath given him to be head over all things, to the church, his body, and fullness of him that filleth all in all. And as long as we recognize that he is the head, and the tail, so to speak, doesn't try to wag the head, we are in a pretty good condition. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity or depart from lawlessness. When a person puts faith in Christ, it does not mean that having trusted Christ as Savior, we can now do as we please. We are responsible to do as He pleases. From God's point of view, the foundation of God standeth sure. There's only one foundation to faith. Way back in the book of Isaiah, we read, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, and he that believeth, he that builds on that stone, shall never be confounded. Do not make a mistake if we're resting on the foundation that God has laid. It's the foundation of God that stands sure. Other foundations do not stand sure. The only thing that will stand the test of time and eternity is the foundation that God has laid. The Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians, you remember, 1 Corinthians 3, that he was a wise master builder, and according to the wisdom which is given unto him, he says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon, and let every man take heed how he builds thereon. You may be building on the right foundation, but what are you building on the foundation? There's only one foundation. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for he says, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. God has laid the foundation, and that foundation is His Son. We sing sometimes, on Christ, salvation rests secure. The rock of ages must endure, nor can that faith be overthrown, which rests upon God's living stone. In Him, it is ordained to raise a temple to Jehovah's praise composed of all those saints who own no Savior but the living Son. view the vast building, see it rise, the work how great, the plan how wise, O wondrous fabric, power unknown that rests upon God's living flesh. God has laid the foundation, and Christ is that foundation. We have been treated recently in the news, and I've been out of the country for a while, and I haven't heard too much of it, but just little snips of it here and there, that there have been some very, very beautiful homes in California. Very beautiful homes. And the problem with those homes, however, they were built a little bit too near to the shore, and the cliffs started falling away, and these beautiful homes, they just fell down. Some of them million-dollar homes. Beautiful homes. And you may have a very beautiful life. People looking at you, they may admire you, say, my, what a lovely person he is. What a lovely man that is. What a lovely woman that is. But God is looking not so much at the quality of the home. He's looking at the foundation on which the home rests. The foundation is absolutely vital. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Since I came home, I was reading some clippings that had been taken out of one of the magazines. I don't know, was it Popular Mechanics or whatever it was, Popular Science. But it was quite a detailed account of the building of the longest suspension bridge in the world. It's in Japan. And it connects two of the main islands. And it was telling how that, what they went, the trouble they went to make sure that those huge structures that are not seen at all, but anchored to the rock way below the sea, is that which supports that tremendous suspension bridge. All of the fine building up above would be meaningless apart from the foundation. The foundation is absolutely critical. To go back a little bit in ancient history, for some of you younger ones here, in 1935, down in the Florida Keys, they had a hurricane. It blew something upwards of 200 miles an hour, they estimate. I can still in my mind hear the train as it went down to rescue those veterans, many who were working down there for the government, for the WPA. But it never got there. Because the hurricane came through and it just blew that train and the water off the tracks. Several hundred people perished. And I remember some months before that happened, going with my parents to visit a man by the name of Russell, a Christian in the assembly they had down there at that time. He had 7 or 8 children. And he was telling us, not bragging, I suppose, but how he had built this foundation of this home, and it would withstand, he said, any hurricane. We went down there after the hurricane came through, and all there was a flat slab. Everything else was taken away. The tremendous force of that wind and wave, it just swept everything before it. Remember what the Lord says? In Matthew 7, at the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He says, many, not just a few, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, in thy name we have prophesied. We have cast out demons. We have done many wonderful works in thy name. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows, them that are his. What a dreadful thing it will be in that day. The Lord Jesus went on to say, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, he's like a wise man. He built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not because it was founded on a rock. He says, the wise man is he that heareth and doeth these sayings of mine. He said, the foolish man, he builds his house on the sand. Beautiful place. Nothing wrong with the building outwardly. It looks pretty. It's expensive. It's costly. He built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not because it was founded on the sand. And the Lord Jesus said, the only difference between the wise man and the foolish man is in this. The wise man hears and does these sayings of mine. The foolish man is the one that hears and does them not. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only foundation for faith. Back in 1973, my dad took my brother and myself over to see Holland and other things. We went to several different countries. But while we were in England, Philip Widdowson took us down to a certain place in England, and he showed us this particular thing, and it was a huge rock mass towering hundreds of feet in the air. And there was a sort of a cave-like, an opening in that rock. We walked into it, and we saw a plaque fastened to it. And it said that it was in this place that Augustus Toplady wrote a very favorite hymn. There had been a tremendous windstorm and lightning storm. The lightning was flashing, the wind was blowing. He got off of his horse and he went into that little cleft in the rock. And as the lightning flashed, he wrote upon a piece of paper these words, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin a double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. What a wonderful thing it is to make sure that you are built on the sure foundation. God said, behold, I lay in Zion. It's the foundation of God. For foundation. A tried stone. Why, the Bible tells us that the stone that we are told to rest upon, he was tested, he was tried in all points as we are. Set apart. And all that they could say of him, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He was tested in all points as we are set upon. Never sinned. And we, that's all that we know in our life. We sin and sin and sin and sin again. But he came into this world for sinners, just like you and me. It says he's not only a tried stone, he's a precious cornerstone. The Bible likes to speak of him as the precious one, the valuable one, the only one who could pay the price. And Peter says, I want to tell you something. He says, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. of a lamb without blemish and without spot who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Precious. Peter speaks of precious blood. Precious. Precious blood of Jesus. Shed on Calvary. Shed for rebels. Shed for sinners. Shed for me. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. All the price is paid. Full atonement now is offered. Peace is made. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. Ever flowing free. Oh, believe it. Oh, receive it. It's for thee. Yes, praise his name. He died in your stead and in my stead. He's not only a precious cornerstone, he's a sure foundation. The foundation of God stands sure because the one who died to make your salvation possible, he lives to make it actual. It's sure because he lives. And he only died. Was he still in the tomb? There would be no hope for you, but the scripture says, the Lord Jesus speaking, says, because I live, ye shall live also. It's a sure foundation. And he that trusts in him shall never be disappointed. The foundation of sure, stand is sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. In fact, every believer in our Lord Jesus Christ is doubly secure. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says in John 10 and verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's all. You're not saved because you follow Christ. But if you are saved, you will follow Christ. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Christ says, I want to tell you two ways that you can know my sheep. You can know them by their ears, and you can know them by their feet. They've got a mark on their ears. My sheep hear my voice. They listen to what I say. They obey my voice. Isaiah's complaint was this, Lord, who hath believed our report? They have not all believed. They have not all obeyed the gospel. It's not enough to hear the gospel. The gospel is preached, the Bible says, for the obedience of faith. We sing in one of our hymns, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. There's the mark of the ear. My sheep hear my voice. There's the mark of the feet. They follow me. And this is what the Lord Jesus says of those that follow him and have trusted him, that have heard his voice, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. To those who said, Lord, we've done many wonderful things in thy name, many wonderful things, cast out demons, prophesied, preached, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we've done all of these things. And then I will say unto them, I never, what was that, Lord? You knew them at one time and then forgot about them? I never knew. Not at any time. They were never here. I never knew. But to those that trust him, I know them, he says. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no one shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. Does that make you feel secure to know that you're in the Father's hand, and you're in the Son's hand? Of all those thou hast given me, the Lord Jesus says in John 17 concerning his own, have I lost none. He calls his own sheep by name. I know my sheep, he says, and am known of mine. What a difference between they shall never perish and I never knew. We read of a day when many will say to him, Lord, Lord, stand without knocking. Open unto us to depart from you. I never knew you. How blessed it is to know that he knows his own and calls his own sheep by name. You see, it's not what you do for Christ that saves you. All of the preaching of a Billy Graham to millions of people down to the last number of years had absolutely nothing to do with his salvation. It is not what he has done for Christ. It's what Christ has done for him that saves. I'm not saying we should not do things for Christ, but I'm saying this. We're saved because we believe, we trust in what he has done and will do, and not what we can do. You hear a good deal in these days of promise keepers. Well, there were some promise keepers in Israel, you remember? When God gave the law, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And so to speak, before the ink got dry, the contract had already broken the law. If you're depending on your promises to God as the means of your blessing, you're on the wrong track. But if you're depending on God's promises to you, listen to what Solomon says. When the temple was dedicated, there hath not failed one word of all thy good promise. God's word is true, wondrously true, living and vital, eternal and pure. God's word is true. I notice too, all of its promises given are sure. You mean in the Gospels how the disciples came back and they were elated about what they were doing for the Lord. Oh, they've done some wonderful things. Oh, boy. Lord, we've cast out demons in your name. We've done many wonderful works. And everybody's saying, boy, oh boy, what these apostles are something. I guess that's what they said. And the Lord Jesus responds to that with this. Rejoice not because of these things, but rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. I'll tell you, it doesn't make a bit of difference how famous you are here on earth. Doesn't make any difference that your name is plastered all over the newspapers about how great you are. The only thing that's going to matter in the final analysis is your name written there. Because the Bible says that whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast in the lake of fire. I can't put your name there. You can't put your name there. But I'll tell you this, if you come as a sinner tonight and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to trust you with my soul, he'll put your name there. He'll write it there big and plain, and it'll never be erased. It's a wonderful assurance to know that your name is written in heaven. Someone asked D.L. Moody one time, Mr. Moody, he said, how many people have been converted to Christ through your preaching? Moody answered, I have no idea. Because I don't keep the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lord keeps record of all those who have trusted him. Whosoever's name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast in the lake of fire. Nobody. This is a wonderful thing about the Lord. There has not been the first person in the history of the world that has ever come to him in faith that has ever been turned away. So sometimes you can go in and you apply for a job. They say, no, we don't want you. You go apply for this and that and the other, and they say, no, 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 no. The answer is no. But God's answer to every person that applies is exactly the same. Yes. All the promises of God in him are yes. And amen. Not some of them. All of them. Yes. God has never turned down a single soul that has come to Christ trusting Him. If I ask Him, we sang, to receive me, will He say me nay? Not till heaven and not till earth have passed away. He'll never turn you down. And if you're not saved, if you're here tonight, and you cannot say on the authority of God's word, yes, I'm one of the children of God, I know my name is written in heaven, because I have trusted Christ as Savior. I've taken God at His word. I believe what He says. And the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath, not may have everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, is passed out of death into life. You can know that. And you can know it on the highest possible authority, on the authority of the God that cannot lie. Doesn't the scripture say it is impossible for God to lie? When you take Him at His word, you come into the good of that. I don't know how many years ago it was now, but I remember a number of years ago, I'd just gone over to Nassau in the Bahamas. And the day I arrived, I had a phone call from my brother-in-law, Allison Parker. And he asked me if I would check on the survivors of the Yarmouth Castle. It had started on a trip from Miami to Nassau. Fire got on board and the ship went down. It wasn't a rough trip at all. Good weather, humanly speaking. I went down downtown Nassau and the place where they had the reports, known saved and known lost. And there was a couple, Allison's sister, Myrtle Lowe, and her husband Morgan. They were on that ship. And I went down and I looked as it listed the known saved and the known lost. And I looked in vain to see their name, because they went down with the ship. I had seen them just a short time before, but I little knew that it was the last time I'd see them in life. But praise God, they had settled the matter of their soul's salvation before, long before that trip. Don't think for a minute it's anything that you can do of yourself and that will merit God's favor. You see, all that we have to bring to God is our demerits, and that's all we need to be saved. Not our merits. It's our demerits, because Christ Jesus came into the world. Save sinners. During World War II, for 8.5 months, I was stationed in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and there's a huge Presbyterian church. I don't know what it would cost today, but it cost over $2 million then. Andrew Mellon, who at one time was the Secretary of the Treasury, a multimillionaire worth about $400 or $500 million, he gave the money to build that church. And the popular name for it locally was Mellon's Fire Escape. You could give all the money that you have to the cause of Christ, and that wouldn't get you one bit closer to heaven than you are right now. But the weakest possible faith in what Christ has done for you, God will receive you. Faith in Christ, the weakest child, stands in all God's faith. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. We may think that we know who are His. I'm sure that the Apostle Peter thought he knew. The Lord said to His disciples, "Will ye also go away?" And Peter speaks up and says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the minute he said it, the Lord corrected him. You can speak for yourself, but you can't speak for me. My relationship to God is an individual matter. Your relationship to God is an individual matter. You may believe that your wife is saved or your husband is saved, but that isn't what saves us. It's whether they've had a personal dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him as Savior. Peter said, we believe and assure. The Lord says, Peter, I'd like to tell you something. There's one of you here that is not a true believer. Oh, he's an apostle. He's done some wonderful things, wonderful works in the name of the Lord, but he's not really saved. He's never had a personal dealing with me. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? You know who he's talking about, don't you? He's talking about Judas. If you had been there, when Judas kissed the Lord, you'd say, my, my, how he loves the Lord. He really loves the Lord. And if you'd have been there, and you'd have heard Peter denying in oaths and curses that he didn't know the Lord, who would you have thought was the believer? But praise God, the Lord knows them that are his. Simon, Simon, the Lord said before he went to the cross, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And Peter's faith didn't fail. His courage failed, but not his faith. And when he saw the Lord betrayed, the scripture says he went out and wept bitterly. Judas went out and it was night. And he took his life. He went out into the everlasting night. Things are not always what they seem to be. But the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to say that you know. He says, I know my sheep, the Lord said in John 10:14. I know my sheep, and am known of mine. We can know. We can know him. I love those lines written by Fanny Crosby, that blind poetess who wrote over 8,000 hymns. Blessed assurance, Jesus, Lord. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. The Lord knows them that are His. And it's good to rejoice in that fact. But it says, let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh, fellow Christian, what a wonderful thing. God has been pleased to put His name upon us. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. We often, humanly speaking, give Him reason to be ashamed of us, but He is not ashamed to call us brethren. Those disciples had all forsaken him and fled. He said to Mary Magdalene, go tell my brethren. My brethren. He's not ashamed to call it brethren. That I send unto my Father and your Father. He's not ashamed to own us as his. Those that he has purchased with his own precious blood. He's been pleased to put his name upon us. If you're a child of God today, you can claim the name of Christian. One who belongs to Christ. What a name we have to bear before this world. To let the world know that we're not ashamed of Him. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. We're saved because we're on the one foundation. But just as when a couple enters into a marriage relationship, they say goodbye to the girls or boys that they knew before. And now they're just cleaving to one person. As far as that husband is concerned, there's just one woman in this world. As far as that woman is concerned, there's just one husband in this world. Just one. And anything that would interfere with that relationship were to reject out of hand. And we have the name of Christ put upon us. And the Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I think it was Charles Wesley who wrote, "My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim and tell to all the world abroad the honors of thy name." We're saved solely because of the one foundation. But it says, let every man take heed how he builds along. You can build on the name of Christ, Paul says. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And he said, you can build on that one foundation. You can build gold, you can build silver, you can build precious stone. Or you can build wood, hay, and stubble. And he says, the fire is going to test every man's work of what sort it is. Not of what size it is, of what sort it is. Is it gold? It doesn't take much gold to amount to a valuable thing. Just a little bit of gold will go a long way. Gold, silver, precious stones. You know, they have these Olympics going on now, and, you know, if you're a top man, you can win the gold in any one of these areas. But the Christian has a possibility of being either one of two things. You can win all three. You can win the gold, you can win the silver, you can win the precious stone. Not just one, all three. Or you can get wood, hay, and stubble. And when the day of testing comes, it says the fire will test every man's work of what sort it is. And if it doesn't stand the fire, you yourself will be saved because you're on the one foundation. Christ is the one foundation. You're on that foundation. But what you're building on the foundation is all going to be consumed. Nothing is going to last forever. Wood, hay, and stubble. You'll be saved, it says, so is by fire. But if you've got gold, silver, and precious stones, all of those things stand the fire, the test. What's the gold? The Bible says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's gold. That's solid gold. Whatever is done for the glory of God gets a gold. The silver in the New Testament, in the Scripture, is a symbol of redemption. Whatever you do to help others come to a knowledge of Christ, that's the silver. And the precious stones, those are believers. Ye also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And whatever we do in our lives to build one another up in our most holy faith, that's the precious stones. Because every believer is precious in the eyes of God. The foundation stone, it's only one. Only one foundation to build on, that's Christ. But it could be silver, gold, and precious stones, or it could be wood, hay, and stubble. May God help us, by His grace, to build for eternity on that one foundation. And when the day comes, and we stand before the Lord, I don't know anything that will be sweeter than to hear from His lips this, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." May it be so, for His name's sake. He is worthy. Praise His name. Shall we pray? Father, we come to Thee in trepidation this evening as we consider. We look back over our lives and we think about dismally. Often we've failed Thee. We've been occupied with things that are so transitory, not the things which are eternal. We recognize that we are building for eternity. And that there is a foundation on which we can build our lives. The Lord Jesus is that foundation. We're thankful for each and every one here who has at some point in his life come to the Savior and said, "Lord Jesus, I can't do it, but You can do it. And I trust You to save me from sin, from its penalty, its power, and one day from its very presence. And while I'm here, Lord, help me to glorify Thy name. To remember that I'm not here to glorify myself. I'm not here to make much of me. But by thy grace, I'm here to make much of thee. Part us with thy blessing, we pray. Pray for the conference that is before us this week. Pray it may be a time of spiritual refreshment and encouragement. We're thankful that we live in a country such as this, where we can meet freely as we've done tonight, with the blessing of the authorities upon us, to preach thy word. We think of the many, many throughout the world that do not have this luxury. We pray for thy beleaguered people everywhere. Give them the courage to walk in fellowship with thee, no matter what the hindrances may be, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we sing in closing that hymn, "How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord, Is Laid for Your Faith in His Excellent Word"? What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Number 395. And we'll sing the first, second, and last verses only of 395.